Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal Series, five wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and Susan's latest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses at the Wise Woman University. But you can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine. It's always a delight to be introduced by you. Well, I had just, you know, about the perfect day. It was sunny and nice for the walk that I took with someone who hired me for a day with Susan Weed. And we walked all over on her property, gorgeous property, and we found wonderful plants, mayapple in bloom and lady slipper blooming. We just had a fabulous time. And then as soon as we were done, it started pouring, which we really need. So really an absolutely perfect day. And now I get to spend time with you and with you, Rebecca. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I had a good day out here. My son was gone today, and I got to take a nap this afternoon, which is really cherished these days.
I was going to say, that may be the last nap you get for a couple of years.
I know. I know.
New one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more important things in life than sleep.
Yeah, I know, but, man, I have been tired lately, so.
More nettle infusion.
That's what I had. I had that this morning, and I can't get enough of the nettle these days. So
yeah,
the energy
indeed,
of the earth,
right.
I really have been.
Also, the baby saying, "Hey, hey, hey, not so much outside. Pay more attention to me. I'm inside."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And really liking that grounding energy. Been really into that.
Mm.
So we have Mary Elizabeth Hoffman joining us at 9 p.m. this evening.
Yes, isn't that going to be fun?
Yeah. She gives readings focusing on creative, empowering solutions to life's challenges. And she uses astrology, tarot, and psychic intuition, which sounds really interesting. So stay tuned. And we have a few callers waiting on the line. So are you ready to jump into some questions here?
I am indeed.
Okay. In the 714 area code?
Susan, hi, it's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. And just to identify, maybe you'll get to know me after a while. I'm probably one of the few blind people who are following you. What do you think?
I have a correspondence course student who's blind and who makes CDs. She's a singer and a songwriter.
Oh.
And I had another very dear friend who was blind. She was blinded by the doctors putting silver nitrate in her eyes when she was born. And I miss her. She died a couple of years ago. And my mother was legally blind.
From what was it called?
She always teased us, and mercifully in the dark, she would say, "What's the matter with you? Can't you see?"
Was it macular degeneration for your mom? What was her?
No, it was for most of her life. She simply couldn't see because she was so nearsighted and astigmatic that glasses only would correct part of it for her. And then as she got older, she had cataracts. And then eventually she had the cataracts removed, and she said she had 1 year in which she could really see everything. And apparently this is not terribly unusual, the removal of the cataracts allowed pressure to build up in her eye, and she lost an eye completely due to pressure.
Glaucoma, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating.
So, Kathy, you called last week, and you called the week before.
I do.
And I like that. I like that a lot. Well, continue to call. Thank you.
Thank you for this service that you're doing. Today, I want to ask a couple of questions, and one of them is about a sample of poke root herb that I got, salve that I got from Red Moon, the nicest people over there, former graduates of yours, apprentices
yes.
of yours. The reason I was talking to her about poke root was that I have, for most of my adult life, I have the benign cysts in my breasts.
Yeah.
And I would like to see if it will help, but I also want to be very careful. So I just received my sample. It's a small little round jar of this poke root salve, and I wanted to call you to see how I should approach using it.
I don't use poke root in a salve very much. Here's what I think I understand about poke root as a salve.
Okay.
Poke root contains caustic substances that can burn through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a breast cancer that's fairly near the surface, you can use fresh grated poke root to quickly open the skin, or poke salve to more slowly open the skin so that the cancer can actually come out.
Yes.
There are other escharotic salves that open the skin. They're hardly ever used to treat cysts. Usually what we want to do with cysts is dissolve them.
Okay.
Chickweed tincture dissolves cysts.
Okay.
So that's usually where I like women to start, is with some chickweed tincture, and to see if consistent use of chickweed tincture will dissolve the cyst. Usually you will know within 3 months. Now, one of the more interesting things to me about cysts in the breast is they appear to be somewhat protective against cancer. So I also say to women, if this is a benign cyst in your breast and it's been there a while, there may not be any real reason or need for you to dissolve it.
I like that attitude. I was sort of that feeling until last year. You know, you go to your doctor and she saw that she felt this lump. Well, I've lived with my lumps, right? I know that's not a new lump.
Well, I don't
right?
know because I don't go to a doctor. Because I think that the best way to be healthy is to stay away from doctors.
Because she scared me to death.
That's right.
She sat me up, and I was fear. I never went back to her. But
yeah.
So I did go to get
What frightens her about those cysts is that they could hide a breast cancer in a mammogram. Not that the cysts would be cancerous, because they're not. But that because of a cyst, she could do a mammogram and not see a cancer that was there.
So I went to get a thermography from a very, very good practitioner and ultrasound at the same time. And she could not see any inflammation or heat. She says it's just part of your breast tissue. But because of her own background, she said, but, you know, you should keep an eye on it, and it's, let's see it in a couple years. And so given what you just said, and that maybe perhaps I should just relax, and that might do me better than anything.
That's what I think. I certainly wouldn't use poke root salve on something this benign. Again, my understanding is that poke root salve causes an open sore by eroding away the skin.
That would be terrible.
If you have cancer and you're terrified of surgery and anesthesia,
it's
a possibility.
Sure.
I also had Michael Tierra, a very well-known herbalist, come to me after my book, Breast Cancer, Breast Health, Exclamation Point, was published, in which I have quite a bit of information about these escharotic salves. And say, you know, I thought that you had really gone off the deep end into cloud cuckoo land in talking about these escharotic salves. He said, and then I got three women, wham, 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 just like that, who refused to even consider surgery and who had breast cancer. He said, and I started using these salves, and you know what? They do work. I said, yeah, they do. I said, but you really, this really is not a do-it-yourself thing. There's a lot of pain. There's a bad smell. And it's freaky, kind of, you know, using herbs to basically do surgery on yourself.
Well, I'm just going to shove it in the back of my drawer then, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm glad I called you.
Exactly. And
but
if at any point you say, I really want this cyst to go away, chickweed tincture can be your ally.
Can I also tell you that I want to do self-massage for the breast, which I know you support on that. So I have some St. John's wort oil, yellow dock oil, and what was the other one? Comfrey. Leaf oil.
Very nice. Sounds wonderful.
Those are the good ones to use, too. Just keep it nice and healthy. And
to stay in touch with your breasts, right? You see, those medical professionals are assuming that you never touch or look at your breasts yourself.
Right.
And that the 3 minutes they have with you once a year is all that's going to happen. But you think about it, if you even touched your breast for 30 seconds once a day, that's 3.5 minutes a week. 15 minutes a month, that's hours and hours of time by the time a whole year has passed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just love you. And then the final thing I want to talk to you about is something we talked about the very first time, and that's the vein issue that I have with my feet and my legs. Well, these oils I just mentioned, those seem to be, that would be helpful too to get some of the puffiness. Would that help with that? Or should I do, they're puffy.
It might very well. Do you usually take some time each day or each evening to put your feet up above your head?
I do. I love it. I am privileged
Good.
To be able to have that opportunity to do.
That time, you could use any of those oils to massage your legs because you'll be massaging in the direction of your heart, right?
Right.
And that will help the veins because they're up and elevated. So there's not as much pressure on their little gates.
And are there tinctures? I'm taking St. John Wort's tinctures. By the way, it is hard to find companies that use the fresh plants, and now I'm learning that most don't. They use dried. So Mountain Rose does, and I'm sure Red Moon does too. What now?
Mountain Rose usually uses dried herbs. It's true.
They do. On St. John's, they
Rose
don't.
Rose usually uses dried herbs, yes. Catskill Mountain Herbs and Red Moon are the only two I know that consistently make their tinctures with fresh herbs.
Right. So St. John's Wort, I'm taking the tincture. Are there any other tinctures that would help with repairing the blood flow back to my legs?
So I'm a little unclear as to why you're taking Hypericum tincture.
Oh, because of my muscles. Waking up in the morning.
All right, because it, so far as I know, it doesn't have much influence on the veins, but
certainly does
on the muscles. Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
Every single day, yes.
Nettle is said to rebuild the veins so that they become like those of a teenager.
Good. Okay.
So just keep on drinking your nourishing herbal infusions, and those changes will occur.
Thank you, Susan. Really, you are an angel. Everyone should know about you. I keep
Thank
telling
you,
everyone
Kathy.
About you.
Kathy, is that a Kathy with a C or a Kathy with a K?
With Kathy with a K.
I or Y?
Y. Very traditional. K-A-T-H-Y. Nothing special. I mean, nothing special in terms of how I spell it, but...
All right.
Yep.
Got it.
Kathy.
Helps me to visualize it. Thank you, Kathy. Dream buzzing.
Blessings
Good night.
Blessings to you, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's keep making our way down.
All right.
All right. In the 240 area code.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hi. Oh, my God. It's so nice to get through. Hi, Susan. My name is Jenny. And,
hi, Jenny.
Hi. It's so nice talking to you. I've been dealing with a vaginal pH imbalance, and it always feels like a yeast infection is on its way. And when I would go to the OBGYN, cultures would come out negative, and they would give me this product called Refresh, and tried it once, never again. Thanks to you, I stopped wearing underwear. I stopped douching, thinking that would solve the problem, and using soap and integrating more infusions and expanding my diet more. And I believe it's a pH imbalance because my discharge feels very itchy, and sometimes it has a oniony smell, and it looks slightly clumpy, like it's not like the normal discharge. But I know it's not normal, and it's super uncomfortable, and I'm hoping you can help me find a solution.
Okie dokie. So let's see here. I am looking at down there. sexual and reproductive health. And I'm looking at the section about vaginal infections.
Okay.
And I'm looking for two different things. I'm looking for a box about vaginal pH, and I'm looking for a diagnosis box. Ah, okay, well, here's the diagnosis box. Let's start here.
Okay.
Okay. Is there abdominal pain?
No, none. And
bleeding or spotting?
I've gotten tested. Excuse me?
Is there bleeding or spotting?
No.
Blisters
no bleeding,
or sores?
No spotting.
No bleeding, no,
no
spotting. Blisters,
but I do
sores?
Get sore after sex. With, and
are
and
there
I've
open sores?
No
are there
sores.
Open sores? No open
no.
sores or blisters?
No.
You said the discharge is white.
Yes, it's whiter than the norm, yeah.
Whiter than the normal. Okay.
Yeah, it changes too.
Right, but you did say it had a bad odor.
Sometimes, because that changes as well. And I've been
mm-hmm.
using. I forgot to mention this. Acidophilus suppositories.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
And I do feel relief. But I don't know if I'm even using them right, like, you know, or maybe I'm harming myself. I really don't know. I'm, like, kind of
cannot be harming yourself with acidophilus.
Okay.
You can't be harming yourself with acidophilus. Impossible.
Okay. I got them from, what is this place called? Botanical Harvest. It's the only place I could find suppositories that are probiotics. I only use it when I feel the symptom.
I don't use acidophilus as a suppository. I use it as a capsule.
Okay. And how often
I insert one or two capsules into the vagina all the way up to the cervix.
Okay. And how often? Or like?
Generally once a day is all that's needed.
One a day for how many days?
You will be able to tell what you need. Trust your body.
All right.
The problem with the suppositories is that a suppository has to be in some kind of grease base, coconut
yes.
oil or something like that. And
yeah,
that itself.
Cocoa butter?
Cocoa butter, exactly. And
uh-huh.
that can, for some women, be, again, altering of the pH. It usually isn't. But there's no reason to use a suppository when the capsule is more effective.
And how many should I take a day?
You don't take them.
Oh, don't take them. Don't take
you
them orally.
Take it orally. You insert the capsule in your vagina up to the cervix.
Okay. And then,
right?
Now, even if it always comes back,
well, I'm actually trying to go through a list here with you, and
mm-hmm.
for some reason you keep getting a little distracted. Could I go back to my list,
please? I'm sorry, yes.
Okay. So you said no to fever?
No fever, no.
Swollen glands?
No.
No. You said that intercourse is painful.
It can be, yes.
Is there itching?
Yes.
Nausea?
No.
Rectal pain?
No.
Urinary burning?
No.
Increased frequency of urination?
Yes.
Vaginal pain?
No.
Pain in the vulva?
No.
Well, then my best guess would be that we are dealing with chlamydia.
Mm.
And the difficulty with chlamydia is that it often does not show up when the doctors do swabs.
I see. Okay, so that's okay. Wow.
Right. Now, one of the things that we are finding is that chlamydia frequently changes the pH of the vagina enough that yeast seems to be the problem. In fact, I start the chapter on chlamydia with this quote. Chlamydia too often goes unnoticed because something else seems to explain the symptoms.
Oh, wow.
Whenever there is a persistent infection, chlamydia should be considered.
Huh. Okay.
Sexually transmitted chlamydia, here's another quote, sexually transmitted chlamydia leaves most of its victims unaware of their infection until irreversible damage has been done. Do you know if you were specifically tested for chlamydia?
I think I was. I remember telling her just do everything, yeah. The one thing I did come out positive for and was HPV, and then it went away.
I was going to say, which is meaningless.
Okay. Oh, wow. So is there anything you could recommend for the chlamydia?
Well, the whole chapter here on it. So,
okay.
And a help box in down there. And the help box says, use anti-infective herbs with an antibiotic drug if you decide to take an antibiotic. Take probiotics,
okay,
too, and try creative visualization.
Okay.
Chlamydia is diagnosed by a variety of tests. A direct culture is considered the most accurate.
I see.
It is nearly impossible to defend ourselves against an organism that hides inside our own cells and thus is invisible to the immune system. Even drugs have a hard time getting at chlamydia. Neither herbs nor drugs are strongly effective against chlamydia, but both together are better than either alone.
Mm-hmm.
The most effective antibiotics against chlamydia are azithromycin and erythromycin. In addition to those, a dropperful of tincture of echinacea, usnea, or yarrow, taken 3 to 4 times a day, will improve your chances of getting rid of chlamydia.
Okay.
Naninoxol 9 is a spermicide. Most condoms are coated with it. Naninoxol 9 increases the risk of getting chlamydia and other sexually transmitted infections because it inflames and irritates vaginal and cervical tissues and can often cause pain after intercourse.
Wow. I'm like blown away. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And again, I'm reading to you from down there. Sexual,
okay,
and reproductive, the wise woman way. If I may be unabashedly pro this book, I really do think it's a book that every person needs to have since we all have it down there.
Yes, and I know exactly. I just saw it, too. I know exactly where to go get it. Thank you.
You are so,
so
welcome. So what? In to sum it up, you might want to go back to your doctor. You might want to insist on a culture specifically for chlamydia, and you might want to stop using condoms with Naninoxol 9.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And do you think
Meanwhile, as I said, there is a whole other page in here on how to change your vaginal pH.
Right. Okay.
Right? And so there's, you know, it's an entire page, and it says, these are things that will make you susceptible to vaginal infections. All right, male ejaculate, seminal fluid, birth control pills, hormone therapy, high blood sugar, unusual stress, even positive stress, bubble bath, washing your vagina, douching, feminine hygiene spray, artificial sweeteners, diet soda, raw fruit, fruit juice, hormonal changes before menstruation, menstrual fluids, pregnancy. The best acidity restorers to make the vagina resistant to infection, yogurt, both orally and vaginally. Acidophilus capsules inserted in the vagina.
Okay.
A sitz bath in salt water.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Susan.
You are welcome.
I hope I will meet you soon. Thank you.
All right. Give us a call in a couple of weeks and let us know what's happening, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Green blessings. Goodbye.
All right. Go to the next caller here in the 310 area code.
Good evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello. That makes all three of us. Okay, we're all here.
I thought I heard a man's voice, and I thought, oh, there's someone else in 310 area code. This is Jean Marie again. I'm also a repeat caller.
Great.
Wonderful to be with you again. Thank you for doing this with us.
You're welcome.
I have some questions for you.
All right.
The first is I noticed in the new menopausal years, you mentioned the tea of freshly powdered berries related to our chaste berry. Now, by freshly powdered, am I to understood that is ground, grinding the dry herb with a mortar pestle?
Yes, if you want to use it that way, I usually use chaste tree as a tincture.
Right, got it. Well, that, and that leads to something else. I've been using the herb farm, which we talked about, is actually made with dried herb, and I get a little dizzy when I take the herb farm chaste tree berry tincture, just one dropper full, once a day.
Chaste tree berry is often made from dried berries. In fact, if I were to show you a bowl of fresh berries and a bowl of dried berries, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Okay.
Just as you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between fresh peppercorns and dried peppercorns.
That makes sense.
I almost always make my chaste tree berry tincture from the dried berries.
Okay. So the fact that I'm getting a little dizzy or that my heart races a little bit when I take it, what's your opinion about that?
I don't think it has anything at all to do with the herb.
Okay. So it could be the alcohol.
It's certainly not an herb that is considered to have an immediate or a fast effect.
Okay.
In fact, most people say that you have to take it, 4 to 6 dropperfuls a day for 2 or 3 months before you will even see the first glimmer of response.
Okay. Then I suspect.
Unless there's something else mixed in with your chaste tree.
No, it's just, well, at least according to Herb Farm, it's just chaste tree berries combined with grain alcohol at about 40 to 60%, I think.
Yeah. It could be that your body doesn't like grain alcohol.
I'm suspecting that because I was going to report on my yarrow experience with you.
Okay.
With you. I did try first infusion of yarrow, which I really liked. Then I tried the Herb Farm yarrow, which is, of course, made with grain alcohol with the dried herb, and my skin did not like it. It didn't respond well. It actually started to break out again. So I went back to infusion. It's calming down, and I did order from Catskill Mountain Herbs the fresh, the tincture made with vodka and the fresh yarrow. And it's on the way.
And the yarrow is starting to come into flower.
Right. We talked about that.
So depending on where you live, you should be able to make your own yarrow tincture very soon.
That would be good. I do live around the Los Angeles area, so I have to start going yarrow hunting. so that
get in touch with your county extension. Right, it's actually the agricultural extension.
Good idea.
They just called the extension office and tell them you would like to know what areas yarrow may be found in, and they can actually probably give you a map.
That would be good.
Yeah.
They might even have reports on where it's the most likely to be uncontaminated, let's say.
As opposed to contaminated with what?
Well, being in Los Angeles, I'm conscious of the fact that I notice that there are areas where there is more pollution, let's say, than other areas where it might be better, the plant may be able to breathe better in certain areas than others. For example, Santa Monica over the valley.
But you see, carbon monoxide is good for plants.
Oh, right. It's true. Good point.
Right.
We're the ones that have the trouble with it.
We're the ones who have the trouble with it, not the plants.
We're the ones creating our troubles half the time, more than half the time. All right, that's good. So I just need to call them and find out where the yarrow is, really, and then start
right.
And then picking. Good. Excellent.
There's a cartoon I have on my kitchen wall, and two people are standing on a lawn, and one is saying to the other, I wish I knew whether or not this lawn had been sprayed with chemicals. And right next to the foot of this one is a dandelion going, it's all clear.
I hope I get to see that one day. That is really funny. That produces a great image.
And I will also tell you that my belief is that if you are living somewhere and breathing the air and drinking the water in the place where you live, then how could it possibly be a problem for you to consume or use a plant that is also breathing the air and drinking the water?
That makes sense. I read your statements about that, and I agree with you, too. One of the reasons that you use herbs that you can access locally and you don't tend to go toward, you know, the Eastern craze and everything else, because not to say they are not effective for people or it's their choice, but that when you stay within your local area for your foods, for your herbs, you know, you're going to vibrate well with those, you know, plant friends.
Yes, exactly.
That makes total sense to me, and I found that to be true. My body is so sensitive, and it's gotten more sensitive in the wake of menopause. We talked about not using the term perimenopause because it's a made-up word, so it's now menopause.
It's menopause. Thank you, yeah. And that is true. Our bodies do become much more sensitive during menopause.
It's fascinating.
Just as they do during pregnancy.
It's amazing. Like the way I was clockwork before with my menstrual cycle, now as soon as I started to notice I was into, like, day 40, you know, I usually was every 26 days. Like a clock. And when I got to day 40 that I had not reached my cycle, it was, like, amazing how much I noticed I was sensitive to things I never had noticed being sensitive to before. It was incredible. And I suppose that's our body's way of protecting ourselves in menopause.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. You know, we don't want to silence that and cover it up. We want to address why it's happening. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, or mention that I went off motherwort, like we talked about, because now I'm shifting over to Chase Treeberry. The first 2 days I went off motherwort, it was very interesting. I was actually, I got a bit of a migraine. I was dizzy, and then it seems like my body eased away from that into a more stable position. So that was interesting. Yeah, I think it was time to go off the motherwort. I wanted to ask you about that, too. I don't know if, because you recommend that these tonic herbs, that you only do it for a certain period of time. What would you recommend would be, not that I'm going back to it, but just as a reference, what would you recommend for the amount of time that someone would use motherwort? Like, say, regularly.
For what?
Once a day. For let's say, when I was using it, at one time I was using it for quiet my heart and my mood, or if I was experiencing dizziness with menopause.
So I usually use motherwort as needed.
Okay. As needed.
In other words,
so it's
if,
not like...
Right. So if something's going on with your heart, you can take motherwort. Now, some people who already have heart conditions and are dealing with those do take motherwort on a daily basis. People who've had stents placed, people who've had surgery. Rather than take drugs, use motherwort daily. Hawthorn is perhaps a better daily tonic if what we want to do is to just increase the effectiveness of the heart.
That makes sense. That makes sense. That's something I have to consider because I remember you mentioning in the new menopausal years that you don't want to lean too heavily on your mother, and I know that could happen to me. So I'd taken it for about 7 months and decided it's time now to let go of the mother a little so you don't become too dependent. And that kind of leads into my next question, which is once you feel as though you're moving into a state of balance, you're doing your nourishing herbal infusions, you're exercising, you're eating well, you're paying attention to your body rhythm, at what point can you say, maybe I don't need to use chaste tree berry anymore, or, you know, some of the herbs you would want to utilize for certain aspects of menopause? Is there a point where that comes into play?
Menopause is not a disease, and menopause is not a condition that needs treatment. There is nothing that I recommend for women to take during menopause.
Okay. Makes sense.
I certainly would not recommend taking chaste tree berry because you're in menopause. Chaste tree berry is usually used for women who want to get pregnant but who are beginning menopause. And what
okay.
it often does to delay or stop menopause.
So, if my primary...
I'm not sure, you know, what your goal is here, but again, let me be very clear. Menopause is not a disease. Menopause is not a condition that needs to be treated. Without any assistance of any sort, you will go through menopause.
Yes.
Just like
and
you
I
went through
Yeah.
What herbs did you use to get through puberty?
None.
And did you make it to the other side of puberty?
I did.
Ditto for menopause.
So.
And to go back to your original question... If you are in balance, you're dead.
Oh.
Balance is the step that immediately precedes death.
Otherwise, we're just working on whatever we're working on, whatever we want to call it.
We're alive. We're changing.
We're alive. Always changing. I think my primary goal was that I was experiencing, you know, hot flashes sometimes, which I've actually just decided to ride out now. I just accept them and go through them. It's kind of like a wave that I decide I'm going to go through this and see what comes out. And the big thing I was concerned about was my skin. My skin, I was having these issues with my skin since menopause began for me, and I was very concerned about that. But that's starting to improve, so... So really, it sounds as though chaste tree berry may not even be something I need right now.
I cannot imagine any reason why you would need it.
Oh, great. Okay.
Right?
That answers, yeah, that all makes sense. I wanted to share something for the previous listener. I also bounced between, you know, these various, quote-unquote, diagnoses when I was still, I'm proud to say I haven't been to an allopathic medical doctor in over 20 years, and you had a lot to do with that, that influence, because that was when I started studying herbology and discovered your work. But during that time, I had been going to doctors, and I bounced between a what they called vaginal bacteriitis or some such thing, and yeast infection, which, you know, between taking the yeast medicine and then the antibiotics, I just kept going back and forth for about 6 months, said this is ridiculous. Was finally diagnosed with chlamydia, took echinacea tincture, and drank Caudiarco tea for about 5 days, and I had no more signs of it the next time I went to the doctor. That was my experience with that.
Wow, that's great. So you didn't have to take antibiotics?
I did not. I did not.
All right, yay. But it took you 6 months to get diagnosed with chlamydia.
Yes, it's actually a little over 6 months, and between that time I was getting diagnosed with bacterial vaginitis. That was the diagnosis, and yeast infection. And they would treat the yeast, and I would get the bacterial vaginitis back, and they would treat the bacterial vaginitis with antibiotics, and I would get the yeast back.
And all the time, what was really underneath it was chlamydia.
Was chlamydia, which once I took the echinacea tincture and the Podiarco,
you got rid of the chlamydia, and then the bacterial vaginitis and the yeast infection didn't come back.
My body beautifully started to balance back into a normal pH balance, if I can use that word, but my pH was restored to a healthy acidic level, and yes, the bacterial vaginitis and yeast infection, and hasn't come back since.
Yay! That's what we like.
Yep. So I way to go. Go, Susan.
Hey, and go you. You're the one who did the work.
Thank you. I think we're all in this thing together. Yeah. I'm looking forward to mentoring you very much. You're going to mentor me, and we're going to learn some things together, and it'll be fun.
I love it. All right.
Thank you so much.
Green blessings.
Thank you so much. Green blessings. Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
All right. I made my first yarrow tincture yesterday, and we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more callers waiting on the line. So,
all right,
maybe even more actually.
Okay,
I'm looking at it. So, in the 405 area code.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Just fine. Tell us what's up with you tonight.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I got about an inch-long rash under my left breast at the bra line. And I read where I could try some apple cider vinegar at night after a shower, and that seemed to make the itching go away. It's very itchy, but there's no pain. And it's about the width of a pencil, and it just has not gone away. The apple cider vinegar has helped relieve the itching. And I exercise a lot, so I sweat profusely. As soon as I get home, the bra comes off, and I take a shower, but it's just not going away. So I didn't know if you might have a suggestion for that.
Do you think it's at all possible that it could be poison ivy?
I have not been out anywhere where I would have come in contact with that I'm aware of. I pretty much go to work and go to the gym and come home. I've not been out not even been in the yard. I wear a clean bra every day.
Do you have a dog?
I do have a dog.
Because dogs frequently will get into poison ivy. And then if you pet the dog and then touch your skin, you transfer the poison ivy oil from the dog's fur to your skin.
Never thought of that.
the rash, is it, does it itch the same all the time, or is it different at night?
It's pretty much all the time. You know, I get real busy during the day, so it takes my mind off. But particularly after exercising and it's all hot and sweaty, then it really starts itching. And
very typical of poison ivy.
Okay. Never even crossed my mind about that. Wow.
Are there little bumps in the rash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Little
I suspect
bumps.
That it's poison ivy, and it can take several weeks to completely go away. And witch hazel can also ameliorate it, as the apple cider vinegar is doing.
Okay.
And you might want to have a small bottle of witch hazel, or they actually sell little foil-packaged towelettes with witch hazel on them that you can take to the gym with you to
okay.
wipe under your breast as soon as you're done exercising.
Okay.
Or just buy a bottle of witch hazel and put some on a towel or washcloth and use it. Different gyms have different dressing rooms and ways of being and things that we can get to.
Right.
So whatever works best for you in your gym situation.
Okay.
And I must say that I really like witch hazel as a very simple and easy to carry around anti-itch remedy. And
okay.
it's really good for the skin as well.
Well, I will certainly give that a try. I didn't even think of that either. I just didn't know what to do for it. So I'll give that a try. I have witch hazel.
Good. Well, there you go.
Well,
that's easy then.
Yeah.
All righty. You take care
you so
now.
Much.
And I would say that, probably within the next couple of weeks, you should see it be totally gone.
Perfect. All right. Thank
All right.
you.
You're welcome.
Have a
good night.
One. All right. Bye-bye.
Green blessings.
All right. The next caller in the 503 area code.
That's me.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Gayla. I live in Malala, Oregon. I have a little farm called Happy Hill Farm. And I've only been here a year, so I'm growing a lot of herbs. And I have a question about valerian. My valerian is blooming now. It's about 7 feet tall. And I was thinking about making a tincture, putting the flowers in brandy. I wanted to know what you thought. I read so many different, ideas. And I'm on the nature of milder tonics as opposed to stronger medicine like the root.
I don't know of anyone who would call valerian a tonic.
Well, I mean as medicine, I mean.
It's not a tonic.
Okay.
Strong medicine no matter what part of it you use. Now, I
right.
do prefer when I use valerian, which is maybe once every 12 to 15 years, to use the flowers. But
do
I will tell you
use...
truthfully, although valerian grows right here where I live wild, I just never have a sense that it's the herb I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what other possibilities there are. What would you be using valerian for?
Well, I would be using it as a sleep remedy, a couple drops in
uh-huh.
tea in the winter
uh-huh.
time.
Do you have access to skullcap?
I don't. I'm not growing that yet.
Huh? Because I find skullcap far better for bringing sleep and no grogginess the next day.
Okay.
So I do prefer skullcap. If you don't have access to skullcap, and not everybody does, then another, to me, better than valerian is hops.
Right, and I am growing those.
And I'm sure you have access to hops, and that can be hops tea or hops tincture.
Okay, and we're growing several of those. But I
and
have
then,
the valerian plant.
And then it all, we want to nourish the nervous system with oat straw.
Okay.
Now, I would also, I'm somewhat putting the cart before the horse here, but I would also, before I recommended any herb for anybody with a sleeping problem, I would ask them to tell me about their sleeping problem.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a personal sleeping problem or a theoretical sleeping problem?
Both. For me, I wake up at night and stay awake, and I have difficulty getting back to sleep.
Uh-huh. And you're how old now?
I am 56.
And how long has it been since your last period?
7 years.
How much nettle infusion do you drink?
I've only just started taking nettle.
I would suggest you keep on with the nettle. When we wake up, when we don't have a problem going to sleep, but we wake up and then can't go back to sleep, that is usually adrenal stress.
Okay. And
while you can make yourself sleep with herbs, nourishing the adrenals and dealing with the adrenal stress, I think is the high road.
Okay. So here's another question about nettles then. I'm up on a hill, and on my wild land, I am not, for some reason, there are no stinging nettles, but there's a ton of what people call dead nettles. I hate to call them dead nettles because they're flourishing, alive. I've been using, you know, the tops as flavorings, actually, in soups and for nutrition, but...
dead nettle not even in the nettle family. It's a mint.
Okay. So do you use it, and if so, how?
I don't. Now, it may not be dead nettle, because dead nettle is actually a fairly small plant.
Oh. Well, there's nothing small up here. It's like you throw a seed in the ground back up. It's Oregon.
So you're telling me chamomile grows 3 feet tall?
Well, it grows 2.5 feet tall.
Well, it's possible then that dead nettle, a plant that rarely gets above 6 inches, could get to be 1.5 feet.
Oh, no, this grows really tall. This grows a good 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet.
Yeah. So, you see, this is the problem with common names. They are meaningless.
It looks just like a nettle. You know, it's got the hairs and the square stem, but it's that soft fuzziness. It's not a... It's not the
vervain.
One vein per leaf?
It sounds like vervain.
Oh,
Verbena officinalis, vervain, V-E-R-V-A-I-N. There's some vervain growing in my garden where I usually harvest nettle. Last weekend for class, we harvested nettle for soup. And I apologize ahead of time. This may be completely unfair of me. Nonetheless, every weekend that I have classes, I have people pick nettle from my garden. I've never had a problem with anybody picking anything other than nettle. And in this past class, there was a man in class, and there was a lot of vervain cut and put in the soup.
Well, I like it in soup. We actually make
and
a potato.
I think that what was happening was that someone was simply not paying attention because...
Mm-hmm.
Vervain looks like nettle in that its leaves are green and the stem is kind of squarish. And, yes, there's hairs on it, But if you really look at nettle and vervain, vervain is a totally different color.
Okay.
Vervain is a bright green, and nettle is a dark blue-green.
Well, that's pretty dark green. You know, other people have seen it and said, well, that looks like nettle, but it's not. But they weren't able to identify
that's
it. So
new.
I'll look it up.
It's like looking at a cow and saying, well, it looks like a horse, but it's not, and then calling it fake horse.
Right, right. Well, I didn't know what to call it, but,
I'm,
you know,
just
like you
that you find out what this plant actually is.
Okay, I will.
All right? Because there are plants that look remarkably like nettle that are poisonous.
Well, this one isn't because I've been eating it. I pick off the top in
that
the early
That does not
spring.
Mean it isn't poisonous. There are poisons that accumulate in the body.
Oh, okay.
And you have to be repeatedly exposed to them before they harm you.
All right,
Coffee, for instance, is poison. But we know a great many people who drink coffee without dying, don't we?
Right.
So the fact that something is poisonous does not mean that a single instance of it will harm you.
Okay.
Find
all right,
out,
I'll do that.
Find out what it is. All right? And then we can proceed from there. But it's not
all
dead
right.
metal. All right?
All right. Thank you.
You are welcome. Green blessings.
Okay. Blessings to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go on to the next caller in the 919 area code.
Hi.
Hi, hi. What's up with you tonight?
Hi, Susan. My name is Drew. I'm a new Green Witch student in your correspondence course. So I just wanted to, let's see. My main question has to do with fertility. I'm going to be 47 this year and would like to get pregnant if possible. And so I've read some of your stuff online and was going to go with red clover infusion, the chaste berry, and you've already answered one of my questions tonight about it being dried, which is how I found it, as a tincture, and then sort of a luniception approach, which I've already been trying for years. But I just wondered if you had any other advice. Years ago, I was diagnosed with one blocked fallopian tube, and that's all I know. So I just wondered if you had any other thoughts.
Do you have any other children?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any children at this point?
Children, no. I've never been pregnant in my life.
Never been pregnant. Okay. So you understand that your eggs at this point have a lot of genetic glitches in them.
A lot of genetic glitches? No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Your risk of having a child with birth defects is quite dramatically high.
Okay.
And the male involved in this is how old?
He is 40, gotta think for a minute, 44.
Okay. His sperm is no great shakes either.
Right.
His sperm has even more genetic glitches than your eggs.
Goodness. Okay.
Okay. So your body does not want to commit resources to making a baby that isn't going to make it.
I see. Okay.
Body will decide that within the first 3 months of the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Most women over the age of 40, I counsel to be ready to miscarry over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It is not unusual for women your age to miscarry 6 to 8 times before they have a pregnancy that holds.
Okay. Is this
this can be emotionally very difficult.
Right, sure. Sure. And it is a very emotional thing in
general. And you don't need to drink red clover every day. 2 or 3 quarts a week is plenty. And a good idea for your husband to drink it, too.
Okay.
But do not have him take the chaste tree, because it's called chaste tree because of what it does to men.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay?
Gotcha.
It makes them forget that they're interested in sex.
All righty. And a quick additional question. I had read that you don't recommend brandy for tincture making because it's poison, you know, that you're a fan of the vodka.
Absolutely.
Can you just, why is, can
brandy
you tell me
doesn't
why?
Brandy really make it, it's got too much other stuff in it for it to really absorb the constituents from the plants very well.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right, and one last quick question. So I started on nettle infusion last week and my, you know, initial excitement and everything with your course. And the following day after I started drinking my quart, you know, or almost a quart of nettle infusion, I got a bunch of sores all around my lips, sort of more like canker sores than cold sores. So I, you know, I continued the nettle the next day, and then my lips were just so painful that I stopped. And I'm just wondering if it's allergy, if it's toxin, if it's, you know, just something to, I thought maybe I'd stop and then try again.
I personally don't think there's any connection between the two things.
No connection.
I'm reminded
okay,
of the woman who wrote into Prevention magazine. She said, I drank a cup of oat straw tea and immediately had a heart attack. I think you should warn people.
Yeah. No, I thought it was really odd because, you know, I've never had nettle before except as a small ingredient in herbal, mixed herbal teas. And, you know, I was really going to town on the nettle that day. And then this kind of just came out of nowhere. So it seemed, you know, like it must be connected because nothing else had changed, but it certainly wouldn't necessarily
no.
be.
No, of course other things have changed. The weather has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are in your menstrual cycle has changed.
Mm-hmm.
How can we say nothing has changed?
Well, that's true. I just haven't had these kind of lip breakouts, like, ever. So,
that
I mean,
does
I've had,
not
you
mean
know,
it has anything to do with the nettle.
Okay. Okay.
It might be, but it's unlikely, because cause and effect is the place where the human brain does the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know what makes the sun come up every morning? Birds
no.
singing.
Oh.
Birds singing is what makes the sun come up, because right after the birds sing, the sun comes up. So I know there's a connection.
Right. Okay. Well, I just thought I would ask because it it just seemed odd. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much.
And the nettle that you were drinking, did you harvest it yourself? Did someone else harvest it?
The nettle?
Yeah.
It came from Mountain Rose.
It's the only thing that I can think of
mm-hmm.
is to look through the nettle carefully. And see if you see anything that looks like seeds or tiny flowers. In other words,
okay.
all that should be in there is stalk and leaf. And if you can see anything that doesn't look like leaf or stalk, there's a faint possibility that they're selling nettle, which was harvested when it was flowering or when it was seeding, and that could indeed cause rashes, headaches, and a variety of other side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most herb sellers are pretty conscientious about not selling nettle that has been harvested when it's flowering or seeding. Mm-hmm. But it's vaguely possible that that could be what's happening.
Okay, I'll check through it. I mean, when I looked it over, it seemed just like very small pieces of leaf.
Right, leaf and stalk. That's pretty much what I'm thinking, too. But I just wanted to that vague possibility there.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely check. I have a friend, too, who we split, you know, a huge order, and she hasn't had this problem. But, you know, who knows? But I'll check it over. All right, thank you so very much.
That sounds good. All right, green blessings.
I'm so inspired by you. Thank you. Green blessings. Bye.
You're welcome.
All right, let's move down the list in the 519 area code.
And we got 20 minutes. How many callers do we have left?
I don't think we'll make it through all of the callers because this is one of six callers.
Okay.
The pressure's on. I'll try to go fast. Hello?
Hi, good. Go fast. That's a great idea.
Okay. All right. Chicory. How can I use chicory root? Do I make an infusion with it?
If you like really bitter, nasty-tasting things, sure.
No, I don't. So how would I use that?
Sure, or vinegar.
A vinegar. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot about doing that. Okay. Vinegar or tincture. Okay, so then, and just like for vinegar, I just eat it as I please, and tincture like 3 times a day if you're trying to treat something like a rosacea on your face.
Chicory is good for the liver.
Yes.
There may be a connection between the liver and rosacea.
Yes.
But not necessarily.
Okay.
The herb that is more distinctly connected to rosacea and facial skin is burdock root.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you. Okay, hold on. One more question, if I can. I think I have a UTI, and then all this talk about the chlamydia, I wasn't going to check in, but then I was like, well, maybe it's chlamydia. I got it Sunday evening, and I would go to the washroom, and then at the end of my urine stream, there's a slight burning. And then the next day, the slight burning continued. By 4 o'clock the next day, I had a little bit of pink on the toilet paper when I wipe. Is that a UTI?
Sounds like a urinary tract infection.
Thank you. Right. That's what it is. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Blessings. Cranberry. Okay,
right.
Rebecca, who's next?
570 area code.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Okay. What's up?
All right. I'm going to hurry it up.
Good.
This is a pretty easy question.
So
I do red raspberry leaf tea, and I have like a ton of wild black caps, black raspberries on my property, and I'm just wondering, can't I use those leaves?
Are the leaves lighter colored on the back?
Whew. Let me think of how they look when a wind comes in. I think so. I think they're kind of silvery on the back, but I could double check.
That would indicate
Why,
that
would
you
that
can
mean?
Use that would
okay.
be mean that you can use them.
Okay.
Okay?
Interesting.
Usually the
because
leaves are harvested from the first year canes.
First year canes. So the first
right.
year canes are
so the root of raspberries and blackberries, the root of rubus species, is perennial. And every year, new canes grow from that root.
Right.
Those new canes are biennial.
Right.
The first year of their growth, they have leaves only. The second year, they have flowers and fruit, and then they die.
Right.
So it is the leaves of the first year canes that we want to harvest to use.
Okay, but, so hold up. So I was saying black raspberry, but you just said blackberry. So are you telling me that I could use blackberry as well?
I'm saying that rubus species include blackberry and raspberry, and that blackberry is very astringent, far more astringent than raspberry. I personally find raspberry way too astringent for me, and I don't use it.
Yeah, my tongue is kind of dry right now after having a cup.
Exactly. It's not very rich in protein. It's not as mineral rich as the other herbs that I use for infusion. And so I don't see any particular reason for me to use an herb that I don't like the flavor of and it isn't giving me what the other nourishing herbal infusions are.
Right. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I actually love the taste of the red raspberry leaf, but it tastes when it's a kind of a coffee, which I don't drink anymore. And it helps me with the second half of my menstrual cycle. I don't really get the cramps.
That's wonderful.
So that's why
absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so here's my second question. I'm going to be so quick. Okay, so
okay.
I tried to do the I've drank nettle tea before. And you read all these things about all these herbs, like all these warnings about, oh, they may contain phytoestrogens that could act like estrogen in the body, cancerous, all that kind of thing. How much truth is there to that?
Well, it may be a simple question, but it's a complicated answer. Let me see if I can make it somewhat simple at the risk of your not understanding.
All right.
Every root, whether we use it medicinally or eat it, contains phytoestrogens.
Sure.
Every seed, and that means every bean, every nut, and every grain, and all products made from those seeds contain phytoestrogens.
Right.
The vast majority of leaves contain phytoestrogens. In order to eat a diet that contains no phytoestrogens, you would basically have to eat a diet that is meat, fish, eggs, and milk.
Oh, right.
And even then, you'd get some phytoestrogens from the milk.
Right.
And quite possibly from the meat. So it's rather like saying, should I be concerned about the fact that I'm breathing oxygen, which is a caustic gas? Well, yeah, you should be concerned about it. Meanwhile, you've got to breathe it, don't you?
Right, right.
Hey, if we didn't have to breathe oxygen, we wouldn't age. Aging is merely accumulated oxidative stress from breathing oxygen.
Right, right.
But nonetheless, we have to do it, yeah?
Totally, right.
Telling somebody not to breathe is not going to increase their lifespan. So telling people that phytoestrogens is dangerous in herbs is rather missing the point.
Right.
That phytoestrogens are widespread throughout the plant kingdom. Now, let me make it a little complicated so that we are clear. There are no phytoestrogens in plants. What there are phytosterols. And phytosterols or phytosterols are precursors to hormones.
Right.
If you have adequate gut flora, you can ferment the phytosterols and bioconvert them into hormones that you need, but your body decides which hormones those are. It's not like there's hormones in the plant that you're taking.
Like cholesterol. That's what your body is, cholesterol, right?
No, the cholesterol in food is totally different from the cholesterol in your bloodstream. Not a good analogy at all, basically. So
cholesterol in, okay.
Cholesterol is a needed fat and it's the starting form of most hormones.
Right. But we
so you need cholesterol in your blood in order to make hormones from plants.
Okay.
All right? And you need good gut flora in order to be able to do this. If we take 100 women and we give them foods rich in phytosterol, we can measure a urinary byproduct that will tell us how much of that they have actually converted into estrogen in their bodies. The 25 women who have the greatest amount of this byproduct, in other words, they created the most phytoestrogens, as compared to the 25 women who have the least of this byproduct, in other words, those who got the least phytoestrogens, the difference in breast cancer is 400 times different. The 25 women at the bottom are 400 times more likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer than the 25 women at the top. Does this sound like something we should avoid? Absolutely not. Have you ever heard of the drug called tamoxifen?
Yeah, it reduces estrogen in the body, right?
Do you know that tamoxifen is estrogen?
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And it's an estrogen that's very similar to the estrogens that we convert from phytosterols.
Right.
So, and this is one of the reasons why eating plants rich in phytosterols and bioconverting those into phytoestrogens protects against breast cancer.
Right. Because there's like 29 kinds of estrogen,
the
right?
The same way that tamoxifen protects against breast cancer, even though it is an estrogen. And literally by the
right.
same way, because what happens in both instances is the safer form of estrogen blocks the estrogen receptor site so that the estrogens
right.
that feed cancer can't dock.
Right. I love it. I love peeling back the onion and seeing, figuring it all out. Thank you so much.
Indeed. And I'm going to say green blessings and goodbye and see if we can get to these other four callers in the next 9 minutes.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right. In the 973 area code?
Yes. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
In the past few months, I've been studying your books and drinking the nourishing herbal infusions, and they have been wonderful so far. And my question is regarding mindset, because when I read in the Wise Woman Herbal about the heroic tradition, I had never heard alternative medicine being referred that way, and it just blew my mind. And I realized how, over the years, my involvement with alternative medicine, how much of the shame and the blame, and it's your thoughts that cause the illness, it's your liver is too toxic, you know, all this kind of stuff. And everyone these days seems to be hanging out their shingle as a healer of some sort. It seems like things have kind of reached a fever pitch in the heroic tradition. But maybe it's always been that way. It's new to me to finally realize what has been happening. And I thank you, because your work has just really blown my mind open. And I guess what I'm trying to figure out now is, when something happens, when any kind of issue arises up in my body, I go into like the medical mode of, oh my gosh, what is this? How do I fix it? And then I kind of get into the heroic way of, well, you know, did I cause this? Was it something? I'm just trying to figure out the best way to start getting information and analyzing it. I know you've told people before on the show, do not self-diagnose. Do not just look things up online and try to diagnose yourself. And a lot of the herbal information online is very bad. So I was just wondering what other sites or books you would recommend, of course, outside of studying with you.
You know, there's a book, I think it's not in print anymore, called Natural Health, Natural Healing by Andrew Weil. And he recounts a story in that book in which he kept a log about his health. And he actually reproduced some pages from the log, and it was pretty funny. Woke up this morning, burped 6 times. Wonder if I have a gastric ulcer.
Exactly.
Right? And he goes
yep.
through his day, you know, farted twice. I wonder if everything is okay in my colon, you know? Felt
right.
a little tired. I wonder if I have leukemia.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And you just, you know, by the time you're done reading this, with him, you are laughing so hard you're about to pee your pants. Because we've all been there.
Yep.
And yet none of these things really is a divergence from health, is it?
I guess it's just acknowledging what's going on in your body, but we're making a
exactly.
quick
Exactly. You see,
judgment.
The heroic tradition has this false goal, which is to never be sick.
Right. Right.
Tell you, in my experience, the people who drop dead of heart attacks, the people who are diagnosed with terminal cancer and dead in 3 weeks, are people about whom it is said they were never sick a day in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a relative like that. I had an aunt who used to constantly torment my mother, who I seem to take after, there's something wrong every day. None of it's going to kill you, but there's always something, you know. And I had an aunt who would just say, why are you always sick, to my mother? And she was the one who unfortunately got out of nowhere, just brain cancer, ovarian cancer, and was dead rather quickly. And she had never had a cold.
Which tells us what? It tells us that her immune system is dysfunctional. You have to be able to get sick to be healthy.
Right.
So what you could say to yourself is, how is what is happening to me a blessing?
Okay.
Rather than make it wrong, how is this a blessing?
And, you know, most of the time, I think, for these little things that we get every day, sometimes it's just our body just saying, you need to just relax. You need to just lay down. And why is that so terrible? But yet, you know, we're always go, go, go in this society, and we somehow think it's a crime if we have to take a sick day or, you know, we can't socialize as much. I'm finding that I need to turn inward more, and then I don't feel as bad about it now as I used to, about, well, I should be going out, doing this, seeing whoever, but no, I need that time.
Yes. Yes. Being kind to yourself is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can fit in one more caller in the remaining 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Green blessings. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
All right. And the 406 area code?
Hello, is somebody there from 406?
Yes, I think that's me. This is Gwen. And
hi, Gwen.
Hi. I'm going to skip my first question and do it another time, but just let you know that I got your message, so I want to ask you about comfrey another time, but you said that was a long explanation.
It's true.
Yeah. So I have two questions. One is a week ago, Sunday, to my great astonishment, I required having my gallbladder out in order to keep it from exploding. And I actually didn't know that that's what the problem was. But I am just curious for recovering from that. I went back to drinking stinging nettle about 3 days later, and about every third day I'm drinking some comfrey. Are there any other suggestions for speeding up, clearing out anesthesia and recovering from the surgery?
I think you're doing great. A massage can be very helpful.
I already did that.
Have you had a massage?
Uh-huh. Actually,
yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, wonderful. Because let's face it, your body is kind of annoyed at you.
Yeah.
You let people cut it with sharp knives. And so you've got to be nice, very, very nice indeed.
So I put plantain
nice
oil.
As you would be to your best friend if you inadvertently hurt that best friend.
Okay.
So what does that mean for your body? Does that mean ice cream? Then maybe ice cream is called for. Does that mean staying in bed longer? See if you can do it. Give yourself permission to be really kind to yourself. It doesn't have to be for the rest of your life. I mean, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. And we'll talk next week about comfrey. Thank you so much for being willing to call back. I really appreciate it. Do we have Mary Elizabeth Hoffman on the line?
Yes, we do.
You can consult Mary Elizabeth Hoffman if you have questions about timing, relocating, health, career, finance, personal growth, and relationships. Mary has led workshops and trips to sacred sites around the world since 1986. You know, I thought that I met you before, 1986, but maybe that's just my memory slipping a gear there. I thought that it was just a few years earlier than that, because I remember teaching it at least one, if not several places where you've been, Mary Elizabeth. Her focus
it was
is
before.
What?
I just didn't start traveling out of the country till then.
But you were teaching before then.
Yes, yes. No, I've
all
been
right.
teaching.
Good.
Long
so
time.
My memory is not that mistaken.
No, it is not.
All right. So it's just the workshops and the trips that you've been doing since 1986. And
yeah.
Mary likes to focus on astrology, personal growth, earth energy, earth change, lost civilizations, prophecy, sacred geometry. And, of course, she is an author, a dowser, an astrologer, a tarot reader, a teacher, a minister, a personal growth facilitator, a healer, and the founder of Alma Stara Spirit School. Mary offers personal consultations, private lessons, mentorships, classes, and workshops, and helps you to co-create manifestation working with all the kingdoms, divic, imaginal, elemental, angelic, human, integral, and creator. Mary Elizabeth Hoffman facilitates a deeper connection with the sacred sites of the earth, either a sacred site where you are currently residing, which can empower you to grow in your relationship with the earth in ways that nurture, feed, and support you, or a relationship with the entire planet and all living beings throughout the cosmos. If you are interested in any of these journeys or anything that you hear Mary Elizabeth Hoffman and Susan Weed talking about in this interview, please go to www.catbeings.com. That's cat, meow, C-A-T, beings, B-E-I-N-G-S, catbeings.com. Welcome to the show, Mary Elizabeth Hoffman. It
Thank
has been
you very much.
Far
yeah, we've
too
kind
long
of been
after you. And I'm glad to know you're still out there doing your stuff.
Yeah, me too. You got the East Coast, I got the West Coast. So,
all right, we got it. So let's see, your website is catbeings.com. So is that because you have a lot of cats, or is there something called a cat being?
Well, I only have one physical third-dimensional cat that I have around, but there are Egyptian cat beings. The Egyptians, of course, have worshipped cats for thousands of years, but they actually were spiritual archetypes, sort of aspects of self that we could use to kind of create a sense of wholeness and do a lot of growing within ourselves, you know, sort of ask them as like a best friend of, hey, I'm having a challenge with this or that or the other, and they would step in and kind of give us advice.
So the cat beings from Egypt, is this like Sekhmet and Bast?
Those would be two of many. There's quite a few. I was actually surprised when I began doing the left brain research of it, because I've kind of been...
Tell us more about the different cat beings.
Yeah, well, I've been conversing with them since I was very, very little, since I was about 3 or 4 years old. But the actual left brain research kind of got triggered on trips to Egypt and also trips to Sedona, Arizona, of all places. So... the cat beings are really interesting, and each one has a different energy. So Sekhmet would be
when
one
you're
out.
Doing a reading, do you have like a way that you work directly with the cat beings when you're doing a reading?
What I usually do is invite them to come in, and if they have specific messages for whomever I'm working with, they will come through. Each of them seems to have their own set of tools and things that they excel in, just like we do. So if you were wanting to do a lot of healing, Sekhmet would be the one I would go to. She really is into herbs. She's into healing of all sorts and creating that balance and wholeness with body, mind, spirit, and emotions. So she's also the one that if we're stuck and we really aren't wanting to face and overcome our fears, she can get pretty fierce.
Indeed, a Sekhmet can be quite fierce.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know if it's still in print, but Bob Masters wrote an entire book about Sekhmet that is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's still in print. It was amazing.
Yes. Bast is the one that most of us are most familiar with, which is kind of like the putty cat.
Yeah, well, a lot of that, it's like a different level of Sekhmet. You know, where Sekhmet's eating she's more bloodthirsty and she's eating the raw meat. Bastet is more the cat that drinks the milk, you know. She's much more connected to humanity as a whole, because she's kind of the guardian of home and family. She's the one that kept the mice and the rats away so they didn't eat all the grain, so that the people didn't starve during the winter times. You know, so she was the protector. And if there was a problem with a crying baby or that kind of thing, she would come and let her owners or her family, her tribe, as you might call it, know what was going on. So Bastet is very, very much a protector of home, hearth, family, community, that kind of thing. So I think that's why most people have such a strong affinity with her. She's more, let's get together and make this work, guys. Let's cooperate. Let's find a way to do it fun and easy, you know. So.
Yes, I always think of Bast as the cat who lets the children dress her up in doll clothes.
Yeah, very much so. She is very, very patient when it comes to that type of thing, that's for sure.
But don't try it with Sekhmet.
No, no, I wouldn't advise it unless you really want to have some permanent marks.
But my granddaughter came to me and showed me a scratch on her arm, and she said, my cat did this because I stopped petting him.
Ah.
Right, that's a bit of a Sekhmet kind of reaction there. It's like,
yes,
you're not
going
to pet me. Give me my due, says Sekhmet.
Right,
or
exactly.
Or I'll take it. So, do we all work with all the cat beings like you do, or do we have more of an individual relationship with the cat beings?
I think it really varies depending upon what's going on in our lives. What I was guided to do was to write a small booklet on just the basic pantheon of cat beings that are most well known. And in the front of the book is a little questionnaire that you can take that has a yes or no answer to it. It basically gives you an idea of which cat being you might be working with at that point in time in your life. I mean, obviously, if you're dealing, you know, you're going to be working with that. You know, if you're dealing with, I need to get the truth and the timing on what's going on for me, you might be working more with Tefnut. If you're really digging into your own halls of records, you might be working more with Seshat or the Sphinx. So a lot of it depends upon what you've got going on in your life at any given time as to which ones you might have the strongest affinity to. Because each of them is like a different aspect, a different facet of the jewel of truth, so to speak.
Uh-huh. So did you say that there's a cat being called Kastet?
It's Tefnut.
Tefnut. Sounds like a new skill, doesn't it?
Well, it's sort of like another take on the goddess Nut, you know, the sky goddess, only it's Tefnut, so T-E-F, N-U-T.
So
basically, she is the one that is, she's the mountain lion, the lion, the cougar, you know.
As
we older ladies can be sometimes, you know.
Hooray for cougars, indeed.
Right, that right. So,
yes.
That
and cougars
cougar
need a large territory
more
of their own.
Very much territorial.
Right,
and
cougar is not about sharing.
Yeah, well, they're good at drawing boundary lines. She's definitely really good at setting boundaries where people don't invade your personal space.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
as we become older and wiser, I think we are a little more knowing that we need to have some private, personal, quiet space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just get that and understanding how much of it we need and how much socializing we need. Because it's finding that balanced reciprocity, that flow of both, you know. So, because we need the human contact. But we
is
need
that the name of
alone.
One of your books? Is that the name of one of your books, Balanced Reciprocity?
I'm working on that one. That one's in the works right now. The action that is Awakening the Cat. And that's the beginning one, to really get in touch with the cat beings at their basic level and learn what they're here to teach and what they're here to share and what some of their basic messages are.
And can we get Awakening the Cat at catbeings.com?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
All right. That sounds really, really good. So what is balanced reciprocity all about?
Well, it's sort of another expression. It's something that the cat beings have been sharing with me, dealing with the figure eight. But instead of the figure eight being up and down like we would normally draw it, it's side to side as well as up and down. So it's the alpha and omega, the beginning, the ending. The serpent eating its tail, it's all of those, the Mobius strip, all of those symbols that deal with flow, with giving and receiving, and giving and receiving, allowing the ebb and the flow of the tide, so to speak, of our own energy and the energy of those and the things around us. So learning to dance in that rhythm of balanced reciprocity with people and places and things. Concepts and ideas. So it's
so
that
we
giving
want,
and
so we want to both give and to take.
Well, it's not so much a taking as it is allowing things to come to you that your soul is really needing, whether it's a lesson or whether it's a gift. Because our soul's going to bring it to us whether we are consciously aware of it or not. Sometimes the universe will bring the 2x4, you know, and go, hey, you need to pay attention to this. So, but that balanced reciprocity of the flow, what it does is it keeps us from feeling exhausted and drained. It keeps us from being out of sync, so to speak, with what's happening in our lives. Sometimes we need quiet. Sometimes we need lots of stimulation. Sometimes we need to be alone. Sometimes we need to be with other people. You know, sometimes we need to be receptive. Sometimes we need to be giving. So it's learning the balance of monitoring the energy and connecting with it wherever it's flowing. That's what cats do, if you ever notice them. Cats pretty much are very in the now. And they're pretty much into being aware of what's happening in the moment and going with that energy. If they're hungry, they're going to let you know it. If their litter box is dirty, they're going to let you know it. You know, with the cat beings, if there's a message that you are needing, they're going to let you know it. Whether it's the message that Bastet would bring of time to socialize, time to get involved in the community, or whether it's the one with Seshat that basically says you need some quiet time, you need to go into your own halls of records and see what's there and see what gifts and talents you have to share with the rest of the world.
Someone once showed me a tarot deck called the Tarot of the Cat.
I have seen it. In fact, I actually have the deck.
I'm not sure, because I've seen kind of a pretty one. This wasn't. This was really simple, black and white line drawings. And the card that most stuck in my mind was the cat at the door.
And waiting for the door into summer like mine does.
And it's, the message was, you don't have to decide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And isn't that the cat at the door?
Yeah, this is
the cat
true.
Says, cat says, open this door for me, and you open the door, and the cat says, and now you expect me to go through there? Are you crazy?
Well, I have one that'll go out and come back in, so.
There you go, right? You don't have to decide.
Yeah. They're actually very, very good if we pay attention to their energy about teaching us to be very, very present with what's going on and really being focused on where is the energy right now? What's really going on right now? You know, what's happening? What's coming to us? What's going away? Where is the flow? You know, yeah. Wise women, those of us who kind of connect into that energy, we tend to pride ourselves in accomplishing more in a shorter period of time using less energy and less effort because we're monitoring where the energy is, right?
Bingo, absolutely. For sure, it's things that I endeavor to pass on to the apprentices is look at how much energy you're wasting here.
Yep.
Right. Let's get our work done efficiently and well so we can go play.
Yeah.
Right. Let's not spend all of our time doing our work because there's play to be had as well. Listeners, if you are going, wow, who is this? It's Mary Elizabeth Hoffman. And if you're going, I want more of Mary Elizabeth Hoffman, please go to www.catbeings.com. There you will find all kinds of wonderful goodies, including access to her book, Awakening the Cat. So what's new these days, Mary Elizabeth Hoffman?
Well, what's new is I finally got the website into the 21st century, which is a good thing.
Woo-hoo!
And actually,
just in time for them to change all the software again.
Probably. That's my kind of luck, right? But at least now all these people with these wonderful iPads and iPods and you know, iPhones and all the fancy gadgets, they can scroll through this one and just slide through it with their fingers. So it's really good. So it's cool.
Oh, way. Hooray, hooray. Marvelous. Marvelous.
Be done in no time. So we've also got a trip coming up November.
To ask you coming trip. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're going to go to Egypt again. And this particular trip is called Coming Forth into the Light. And it's going to be designed around spending a lot of time in Abydos and Dendera, doing major initiations, working with the Egyptian Blue Lotus. We actually have a foundation there now where we're growing the Blue Lotuses again in Nile water and with the hopes of eventually putting them back into the temples. They are part of the heart energy. And so the people who are really into reestablishing that and working with the cat beings to do that are going to be coming on the trip with us. So it's open to anyone who's interested, and there is information on the website about it if you want more details.
That sounds super exciting. When is that going to be?
The first portion of the trip is November the 1st through the 12th, and you can do an extension to Abu Simbel and Abydos if you would like, which runs through the 18th, so another 6 days. So a lot of it will depend upon how much you could afford to be away, I guess, from your normal life.
Well, that's enough time to really shift your consciousness.
That's the whole idea. This is really a Stargate Egypt trip and is designed specifically to facilitate people to really reconnect with the cat beings that they have an affinity with, as well as their own energy, carrying the heart energy of the Blue Lotus throughout the planet.
The Blue Lotus. Tell us more about that.
Well, the Blue Lotus itself, it's interesting. The photographs I have taken of it in the ponds that we have there, depending upon whether it's in bright light or whether it's in shadow, it changes colors. In bright light, it looks almost lavender. If the sun is directly on it, it looks bright, bright pink. But if it's more in the shade, which is what most of them are, it has a powder blue look to it. And it has very cosmic energy. One of my greatest joys is being able to sit out by the ponds as the sun is rising, because the lotuses come up out of the water and gradually open to the warmth of the sun. So they're coming up out of the mud, and they're really opening up to that heat and that love and that warmth from the sun. And the fragrance is one of all is right with the world and everything's going to work out okay. So
Aww.
It's a really nice energy.
What a wonderful message to imbibe.
So that seems to be the reason that the Egyptians used it so much as part of their initiation. There are carvings all over the temple walls, all over Egypt, of the Blue Lotus. They made it into oils and tinctures and balms and this kind of thing, and used it quite a bit in healing to help people really release any blocks and fears and limitations so that they could actually move through whatever their issues were very smoothly and easily. They used to actually use it as an oracle tool as well. And many of the Egyptian priests and priestesses were known as the lotus eaters. And they were in the several of the temples. There were places where you could go and dream to get messages, to get guidance. So when people were needing to make a decision about moving or about travel or about expanding their business or having a child or getting married, they would go to the temple site and ask one of the lotus priests or priestesses to dream for them and to bring a message through to them as to what they should do with whatever the issue was that they were questioning. So it's been used as a guiding tool for quite a while. So it's the energy it imbibes is one of getting to the truth or the heart of the matter.
Really getting right into the very heart of it.
Yes, without our ego or our biases or the things that we wish would happen, but truly getting to the core of what's really going on energetically. In other words, what seeds have we planted and what do we need to pull up that's a weed that is not a good weed, you know, or not a helpful weed? Some weeds are helpful, as you well know, and some weeds can make you really sick. And it's wise to know which ones are which.
I was working in someone's garden today, and she said, "What's this?" I said, "That's ragweed. Pull it out."
Exactly. Exactly.
I will say, however, that I did once teach a class on weeds in your garden at a big agricultural conference. And for once, I was in a classroom with a chalkboard. Very marvelous. Usually they give you one of these little, like, pads, right? So you're kind of limited in the size, but you can do, over chalkboard, you can go really big. And I said, all right, everybody, start calling out the names of weeds. And I just wrote as fast as I could as they called out the names of weeds. And we just about covered. It was a big double-sized chalkboard. We just about covered that thing with the names of weeds there. And I said, all right, I picked up the eraser. I said, we're going to start by erasing any plant that is listed up here that has no good use.
Yeah.
Several people from the audience said, ragweed. And as if they had cued themselves, they didn't know each other. But at the same moment, on one side of the room, a young man stood up, on the other side of the room, a young woman stood up. And in tandem, they said, it makes a great tincture to help prevent pollen allergies.
This is true. This is true.
So even though I told her to pull it out of her garden, it's not because it was a useless weed. It was simply because I didn't think she was going to use it, and it was growing in among her carrots, and those carrots were not going to a chance if the ragweed was there.
Definitely not.
Definitely
well, we
not.
Now have the cottonwoods blooming, so the cottonwoods are doing their thing out here.
Oh, yes, indeed. We have not cottonwood, but it's similar to it, and all the ponds are covered with little white fluffy buffies. From them, sending them all out. Well, I know it's hard to believe, but we have gotten to the last few minutes of our time together, Mary Elizabeth Hoffman.
It flies always.
It does. Is there something that you want to spend these last few minutes focusing in on, either something we haven't talked about or something you'd like to talk about more? It's to me, it's kind of like the last impression that we get to leave in the listeners' minds.
Well, my only message and what the cat beings would want to get through is that if you're curious like a cat, check out the website, and if you're even more curious, give me a call and we'll see what messages they have for you personally.
That sounds good. And remember that cats have 9 lives.
Oh, definitely.
So that makes them a little more willing to take risks. That's what I always, if you're thinking about taking a risk but you're feeling a little frightened, just get into the part of you that has 9 lives.
Exactly.
And say, hey, you know what? I can take this risk because even if it turns out not the way I want it to be, I've got 8 more lives I can try.
Exactly. Exactly.
And to me, that's one of the wonderful things about cats, that especially what I see with my 2 cats, is that they take amazing risks.
Yeah.
But they definitely plan it out. Like I'll see my cat look at the tree, look at the tree, look at the tree, and then suddenly she jumps and she's up the tree.
Yeah.
But she thought about it before she did it, and she doesn't go any higher than she can get down from.
That's great.
Mary Elizabeth Hoffman, thank you so much for being with me, Susan Weed, here at Blog Talk and Women's Radio. We are so honored to have you and your great accumulation of not just knowledge, but wisdom. The time that you have spent being with the cat beings, listening carefully, is deeply appreciated by all of us listeners. That's www.catbeings.com, where you can connect with a Mary Elizabeth Hoffman. Thank you all for joining Susan Weed and Mary Elizabeth Hoffman in reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients. Green blessings, everyone.